Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Okay, good evening. This is We'll Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Radio and Life Radio 107.5 FM Ibadan. And as we all know, We'll Talk with Lola. We try to deal with everyday. I think radio needs to mute. Okay, I think I'll go again. Okay, this is Real Talks with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 Ibadan. And with Real Talks with Lola, we try to talk about everyday issues. And as a psychologist, I try to bring about behavioral modification via media in a bit to bring about a change in mindset. Throughout the month of October, we've been talking about women and the glass ceilings, and we've looked at it from different dimensions. Today, we're going to look at it from the African perspective, and my guest is no other person than Anion Fombad, who I know will do a good job with this particular topic, because she has a very, very, would I say, a keen interest with anything has to do with African and our beliefs and the way we look at things. I've had a privilege of doing one or two things with her, and I know that she has a very strong belief, and she would give my listeners reasons to look at things from a different perspective. Because what we're trying to look at is, you know, why is that glass ceilings when it comes to women? Ayon, how are you?
Hi, Lola. I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm actually more excited to have you on than I think you are, because I just said to myself, this is a good topic, and this is you. I mean, this is something you're very passionate about, you know. And yeah. For me, I try to, I mean, with Real Talks with Lola, what we try to do is on Spirit of Nigeria Radio is, you know, trying to bring Africans, especially Nigerians in diaspora, up to speed. But most especially for me, I try to bring about a mindset change, you know, the way things used to be. And I try to talk about, well, I say topics that people would normally shy away from. So today we are talking about women and the glass ceilings. You know, we've been talking about it since the beginning of October. And before we dive straight into it, can you just tell us briefly about yourself? Like, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Sure, I will be very glad to. And thank you for bringing me onto this amazing platform. And it's such an honor for me to at least give a voice on the various topics that you are talking about. So my name actually is Anya Fombad, and I was born in Cameroon, West Africa, which is just a neighboring country to Nigeria. And then I relocated to the United States. So I'm currently in the United States. I've been here for about 15 years. And actually, I'm a clinical pharmacist and a health economist. But most importantly, I'm an African woman who wants to give a voice to our community. And so I have this podcast. I'm the host of the podcast called Living African. So not living like leaving a place, but more of like life, like living as an African. Mm-hmm. And so it's Living African, and it's just a podcast that challenges or demystifies the cultural and societal ideologies that affect the well-being of members of our African community. So we talk about a lot of things that we thought about growing up, but we just did not want to speak openly about, because either that's how things have always been, or we are afraid to call things as they are and things like that. So we talk about a broad variety of topics. This month, we're actually talking about breast cancer, because it's a breast cancer awareness month. Yes. So, that's basically, we're talking about all things African. So all the controversial topics and all the discussions that you've had behind closed doors and you're afraid to speak up, I create a safe space for all of us to talk about those things. And I know I also had you on the platform, and we spoke about sex and marriage and sex education, which was probably one of my most listened to episodes. So I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much, Ayon. Now, I know that like I said, I know you're very passionate about anything African, and one of the topics I am very passionate about is, like you rightly said, apart from we being Africans as people, there's a lot of things that goes on in our minds, and you know, you rightly said it, some of those things are just things they told us, maybe just to get away with things, but we've now taken it as a way of life. You know, we just never questioned, you know, why are things done this way? And one of it, when I was just going through my topics, one of it is, you know, women, you know, there's just so many, when I put it, there's so many issues out there that, you know, we just take it because, and you know, when you even ask this question, they'll just say, oh, because you're a woman. And I'm like, is that even an excuse? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, is that a good enough excuse for anybody? You understand? Right. So, I mean, so why, from your opinion, and as an African woman, why do you think there's this, I mean, I will call it an invincible block when it comes to women?
Yeah. So, basically, what I would be taught, everything I would say would be just strictly based on my opinion and not necessarily facts. And maybe sometimes it will be factual, but mostly based my experience and my opinion. I mean, in order for us to fully understand what the problem or what the issue is or how that ideology came by, it's always important for us to go to the root of, you know, the beginning, right? So, for the most part, you know, we already know that Africans are typically the most, I would say, religious people. You know, there are a lot of Christians, there are a lot of Muslims, and, you know, all that. But, like, we have a strong conviction to believe in a higher power than most of the other people in the world. And, you know, like, for example, in terms of Christianity, you see in the Bible, the women were always, like, always the submissive ones. Even the Bible says, you know, women submit. Even though we actually, a lot of people in Africa actually take that to mean something else, you know. And I feel like the fact that we're spiritually convicted, and also in addition to the fact that we are extremely and culturally convicted as well. So bringing together that spirituality and culture, it kind of exacerbates or exaggerates the whole ideology of women, a woman's place in society, I would say that. Like you mentioned, I mean, there are a lot of things that we probably did not even talk about. And when I look back growing up, it was a very normal thing that, you know, it was just a way of life that it was so hard for us to even see to it that, oh my God, this is an issue. You know, I grew up in a household where, I mean, my mom is a very powerful woman. I grew up in a very unusual household. I would not call my upbringing a typical African upbringing. My parents are extremely educated. My mom is extremely educated. My mom, for the most part of her life, actually made more than my dad and things like that. And she was very powerful as well. But, you know, just the simple things in the dynamics of a household, and this also happened in my own household, I would say, you know, you always see the girls are always in the kitchen, right? You never really see the boy in the kitchen.
I was actually going to talk about that. One of the questions. Okay, go on.
Right. Yeah, so you see the girls are always like, you know, my sister and I wake up in the morning, we're cleaning the floors, we're helping out in the kitchen, so the girls are domesticated from a very young age. And then the guys, all they do is just sit around, or my brother, even anything, maybe he just cleans up the car, but my uncles already do that. So he just, like, he doesn't really have any responsibility, right? So it's like, yeah, the whole, sometimes parents will say, we're training you to be good. Good mothers, or to be good home takers, stuff like that. But then again, a man should equally be involved in the upbringing of the household, or in the overseeing of the household, right? Yeah, it's always, there's also the ideology, you know, the man is a provider and stuff like that. But that's not, you know, all about it. Another example is, you see a lot of men, you know, they go to work and come back, right? And yeah, they provide with finances and stuff. But you see, like, a lot of, especially in the local communities, the women, you have a pregnant woman, she wakes up, cleans, cooks, goes to the farm, probably with another child on her back, works very hard, comes back, and then she has to clean the food and cook again and do everything. And the man just sits there. She has to serve the man, come take out the plate. The man does not even think that, hey, let me help this woman. Let me, woman, you know, yeah. it's like there's this ideology of the African male chauvinism, right? Yeah. Where we always think the men are more important and more powerful. It's supposed to be more powerful than the women. And so it's like any man that gives his wife any kind of leverage or any kind of freedom to do what she wants, he's looked upon as a weak man. And that's what my dad went through most of his life, because, you know, my dad had the same bank account with my mom. They still do. And it's like, whenever he goes to the bank, even the bank teller will insult him and say, what kind of man is this? How dare you let your wife know how much is in the bank account and things like that. But mindful that my mom made more than my dad, you know. So, you know, just having that ideology, I think it kind of suppresses women. And we already know that educating and empowering a woman is empowering a community. And African women are the most marginalized women in the world. And I feel like it's about time that things change. And things are changing. I mean, we're now living in different times. There's a lot of exposure. There's a lot of advancements. And women are standing up. You look at Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, the former president of Liberia. You look at Ngozi Okonjo Iweala. You look at Folorunso Alakija. You look at Chimamanda Ngozi. You know, like, you look at all those powerful women who are taking up spaces. You know, that should only empower women and young girls to want to be like them and also claim their space. Because, like I said, when you empower a woman, you empower a community.
Yeah. Thanks so much, okay? You know, but I'm happy. I mean, I'm very happy these changes are beginning to come. I mean, I wouldn't say beginning. There's few, like you rightly mentioned, there have been some few women out there that have tried to change the dynamics, okay? But the major problem is, like, which I see, is, you know, why is that glass ceiling? You know, why is it that you can say, okay, it's fine for a man? I mean, let us look at the workforce, for example. You understand?
Yeah.
When a man, it's very okay for a man to be called a boss. It's just okay. But when it's a woman, you just have some little talks, even with colleagues. I mean, let's even go back to being African and look at the rudiments in the house. I was looking at a situation and I was laughing and I was like, you know what? This is just the way people are wired. Mm-hmm. Look at it at home. When you have a domestic working with you, they always tend to give that respect to the man of the house. Even if he's not the one paying the bills or anything, they automatically feel, okay, you know what, he's the man of the house. And then the woman of the house, they put instantly an instant block between you and them. And I'm wondering, why are you doing this?
Yeah. You know, like I said, it's something that has been engraved into our mindset, right? Even in the movies that we watch, even as kids, the way we see our parents, you know, treat each other, not necessarily bad, but like, even in our communities, even in the churches, in everywhere you go, everywhere you look, you know, you always see that, you see that perception of a man. The male sex is synonymous to power.
Exactly.
How many female presidents have you seen in the world? Talk less of Africa. There's always that level that a woman cannot surpass just because she is nothing but a woman, you know, because if it was a man, he would have gone there. So I just feel like it's something that, how can I say? It's something that is part of us. It's more of a habit of us to automatically assume. I mean, even from, it doesn't even matter the position, even from the janitor, to the boss, everybody, even a janitor will look at a man as more powerful than a woman. Even if you hire someone to come clean your house, they're going to probably ask, oh, the man, they'll probably listen to the man first than the woman. So I feel like it's just, again, coming back to the ideology of the African male chauvinism, just the ideology that men are more superior and men are more powerful, you know. But then empowering women, and when a woman is powerful, what happens is a community becomes powerful. You know, my mother, she has been the only woman in a lot of positions in her life. At this moment, she has been she's the first African woman to be in the position where she is. And she herself has told me a lot of hurdles that she has gone through. Because she is basically the boss to a lot of male subordinates.
And yeah, it's, I can imagine.
Just because it's something that we're not, all of us are not used to. Think of something that you're not used to. Of course, it's going to take time for you to learn or even get out of your comfort zone to acclimate to those new standards, you know. So I feel like it's more something that is in our blood, regardless of how you were raised. It's something that is still part of our community. And of course, our community influences the way we act with one another. So it's something that we have to unlearn and learn new things. And like I said, when you look at all these women who are putting up for themselves and for all women around the world and showing that, you know, a woman can achieve many positions that a man can actually achieve and a woman can even do way better than a man. Once we see things like that, we get more open-minded and we tend to change all these perceptions and ideologies.
Thank you. I mean, thank you so much for putting like a voice out there for people to listen to. Because you see, when you see things like this, you start to wonder, you start to ask yourself sometimes, you know, you can get flustered. I don't know if it happens to you sometimes. You just get flustered. You just ask yourself, you know what, not again. When is this going to change? Because I mean, they tell you things like, I mean, for me, I look at it from the point of view that, for example, you are doing the same, women are doing the same, maybe the same task with a man. But, mm-hmm. you know, you're being graded differently financially. Yeah. And it's always so sad most of the time. Have you ever had an experience like that?
Well, I won't say I've not been graded per se, you know. Well, I mean, I honestly get what you mean. But the whole idea of, you know, like in America here, there's such a very strong fight for women to have equal mm-hmm. pay as men. So the whole idea is basically women have been marginalized worldwide and are still being marginalized. There are a lot of things that, you know, like sometimes like my coworkers who are probably guys, I mean, in addition to the fact that sometimes you have to have that bargaining power to bargain for what you're worth. But some other times we as women, we just hit that glass ceiling. We just hit that, when I say glass ceiling in terms of pay in this case, mm-hmm. you know, like they will not pay you more. I mean, just look at it this way. Like I said, women have been are being marginalized internationally, but it's actually more in Africa just because of the cultural aspects of things as well.
Yeah.
But look at it this way. We know already that men are looked upon as more powerful and women are looked at the weaker sex. Like, I do not condone bullying or anything, but for the most part, when we hear about stories about bullying, like, oh, a child is being bullied in school, for example, like the more powerful ones come and take his lunch, or he's always given like the leftovers, or he's always treated in a very bad way just because he's weak, right? So we just because women have been looked upon as the weaker sex, you know, it takes a lot more hard work for women to prove themselves. So you see, even those women who have been in those positions, if a man was in that same position, he probably would have been in a higher position by now, or he would have gone through lesser hurdles to get to that position than the woman, you know. So I feel like it's just it's like a universal silent language that women are the weaker sex. But then again, women, the thing that God has blessed us with is that we have hidden strengths that men have no idea about. You know, everything a woman touches her hand on actually goes a longer way than men. So that's something, like I said, that we have to really unlearn and, you know, just be open-minded. You know, you have laws here, even in America,
to telling women what to do with their bodies. You have, you know, it's been a long way. It's been a long way coming, especially with law-based women. You know, it started by marginalizing blacks and then marginalizing women and things like that. But with time, we just have to give ourselves time. And at the same time, we have to actively work hard at making sure that a woman is a human first and then a woman, just like a man is a human first and then a man. So when we look at each other as humans instead of like the sexes, then maybe that's going to let us treat each other equally, because I'm a human, you're a human, you're not more human than I am, and vice versa. So we have to treat each other equally in all aspects, regardless of the sex.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy about what you're saying, because you know, you hear things like I don't know if it happens in your community. I mean, when in Nigeria, you hear things like, oh, it's just a woman, and they're wondering what's the meaning of that. I mean, you know, just in a very sarcastic way. It's like, you know, maybe something happens and you're like, oh no, it's just a woman. And you know, and you're wondering, okay, especially the woman, and then again, if when it comes to positions and everything, and a woman is really working hard, I mean, I know that you always have to put in like double whatever the man is putting in, so that it is not looked at in a different way. Because most of the time, when you're doing things and you're being successful, most of the times, they always attribute it to something else. It's either, oh no, maybe she's sleeping with a boss, or maybe she's, you know, not so many negative vibes. And I know the younger generation are beginning to fight that, which to me is extremely a very positive attitude to us breaking this glass ceiling for once and for all. And, you know, you talked about in Africa, which is true, you know, the women have been kind of groomed. We groom our women towards being domesticated, because in my place, we claim, you know, you're going to go out. Mm-hmm. You're going to be somebody's wife. You don't want them to think, your parents did not train you.
Mm-hmm.
And for the men, they claim they're going to bring somebody in, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Somebody else's daughter, you understand? So, you know, looking at it from the African perspective, what are the things you think we can bring about a change? But before we go into this, I think we will actually just quickly go on a 2-3 minutes musical break, so that we can come back and take one or two questions, and then we can go from there.
Okay.
Yeah, let me see if the studio is back. The studio should be. Yes, okay. We can go on a music break right now.
And if ever I go more light, it's bad that's it, let me. Cause my mommy won't want it, let me. And I want my person to miss it, too lazy. Oluwa, bona, of the lady. Pasa de azul, attack de bayo, okun lazy. No go talk, say me, I too lazy. And if ever I go more light, it's bad that's it, let me. Cause my mommy won't want it, let me.
Funkilla. I go show you wonder what it wonderful. You never believe what it won't happen. Notice the boss when the bed do won't catch you. Like it asleep, but this one pass. Hunger. I think I do not start on you. From your feet to love on you. With somebody that I on you. Cause I'm feeling it in my soul.
talks with Lola, and I've been talking with no other than Ayon Fumbad, all the way from the US, and she's been able to give us a little perspective into women and the glass ceilings from an African perspective. Before we go into the part two fully, like I said to you, we're going to take one or two questions, and one question actually just came in right now, and it's something you've already talked about, and the person is saying, you know, right. It says, why do Africans especially like to put an invisible but very visible divide between men and women on issues? It says it's invisible but very visible.
Right. And you rightfully said, well, thank that person for the question, by the way. And as you rightfully said, I just literally spoke about that, at the first point I made. So it's like, there's this thing called charity begins at home. So it's like, there's so many things in our community that are habitual. So many things that are part of the culture of the community or the societal ideology.
Okay.
When you know you go to a friend's house and see the guy in the kitchen, you're like surprised. You're like, what is he doing in the kitchen? Because that's not the. It's like we
it's very un-African.
We unintentionally separate the roles, right? So we already have that division. We unintentionally separate the roles. Like women are supposed to be in the kitchen. Maybe the men will go clear the grass or whatever. But it's like the men will do manly things, right? And then the women will do womanly things. So there's already that automatic divide that we already have. It's engraved in us at a very young age without us even knowing. And we grow up with that. And that division converts into different things. Like, what the boy or the girl chooses to be when they grow up. You know, you cannot really see a woman being a mechanic, or you cannot really see a man being a nurse. Like, I mean, it's common now, but growing up, it's like there's certain roles that they just appoint for women. And, you know, women are more nurturing, so they should be nurses. Like, it's very strange for a man to be a nurse and things like that. So it's like we already have those divisions. And of course, since men are supposed to be the providers, women are not supposed to work hard enough, right? So the woman should not take a leadership role, or a woman should not climb up the ladder because she will not have time to take care of her children. Worst of all, if she's not married. A lot of people blame her success for the reason why she's not married. You know, so things like that. Those are just very, very false ideologies that, you know, we have to definitely work very hard at stopping.
Okay, now, you know, talking about this, I mean, I'm happy you brought this topic up. And that's one of the things I always say to people. Why is it always very okay, I mean, especially in African community, when a man is not married? They'll say he's looking for a wife, blah, blah, blah. But when a woman is of a certain age, I totally understand that we have to look at the fact that, medically.
Biologically.
Biologically and medically, it can be a little bit daunting on the woman's side. But again, why don't they look at it from the fact that, maybe the woman wants to be, you know, maybe a little bit more mature, know what she wants out of life before going into the next order. But there is always, when she's not married, there's always more pressure on her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I totally agree. Actually, there was an episode of my podcast, Living African, where I spoke to two of my very good friends who were very single and who were very, very, very successful. And, you know, we were talking, the title is The African Timeline. We were looking at, you know, there's this silent timeline that has been placed on us Africans, especially women. Men go through that as well, but women go through even more. It's like, by this age, you should have been married. By this age, well, first of all, by this age, you should have been done with school. You know, you don't have to go all the way up because, you know, a man will be intimidated. You will find a man, you know, and then after you graduate, you have to get married. And then when you get married, you know, even, you know, like this, like I said, this song by Flavor, Ada, like in 9 months' time, we're going to come visiting. You know, so it's like that song is a good song, but then, you know, when you look at it in based on our culture, it already puts so much pressure on the couple or even the woman, you know, and then when she cannot have kids, you know, they're like, this woman. So it's always a woman when it has to do with infertility. But, you know, we forget the fact that men too can have issues with infertility. But it's primarily the woman, because all the movies we have watched, you know, the mother-in-law is always accusing the woman, looking for the man for a new wife, you know? So it's like, and then when you have one child, they're like, what are you waiting for? You have to get the next child. And, you know, you talked about, you know, the woman's biological clock could be running against her, but there are so many innovations at this point, in this time and age. A woman can freeze her eggs. You can get someone to have your kids for you. But then that's another story for another day. You know,
that's very, African, yeah.
Yeah, with us in Africa, especially, we are very culturally inclined. It takes more time for us to get used to certain ideologies that are out of our comfort zone. So it's understandable. But like I said, there are so many advancements at this point where, you know, the stress or the pressure should not necessarily be on a woman. And as a woman, I'd rather be single and childless than to be stuck in the marriage and be miserable for the rest of my life. Because guess what? If the mother of the house is unhappy, no one will be happy. The children will not be happy. And you have so many women who could be way more than they are at this point. They could do way more than they are doing at this point. And they find themselves stuck in unhappy marriages and unhappy lives just because they want to satisfy the status quo. And that has to change.
Yeah, I mean, I know that is really one of those things that we need to talk about, because, you see, that invisible glass ceiling is just actually there, because, like you rightly said, there's a lot going on with women. But because of this thing right there, you know, I mean, look at the gender inequality going around and everything. You know, you just don't have a voice. You're brought up not to talk about it, even though it's kind of killing you in there. You're just brought up not to talk about it. And like I was talking to somebody last week, when you do talk about it, then you are labeled, maybe you're a feminist, or you're labeled troublesome.
Yeah.
You know, you're just giving a label. But what they don't understand is that, you know what? People are beginning to realize that, no, it's time for these things to start changing. It's time for us to, like, you know, not do these things the way it was done. When I was talking to you earlier, you know, I was looking at it from an African perspective, and I, you know, it used to make me laugh that, you know, in Nigeria, for example, while I was growing up, and that's when I used to question so many things. You know, they would tell you when they killed the chicken, the woman wasn't allowed to eat some certain parts. And I used to wonder why. Now that I'm much older, I attribute it to, well, maybe they didn't mean any, maybe because that particular part had just one. I mean, like a chicken had just one gizzard, do you understand? And they would say it was the man that was supposed to eat it. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, I mean, that's where the cultural aspect comes into play, right? It's more of a cultural thing, and we have some cultural ideologies that really don't make sense, you know. I don't even know the motive behind that, you know, but you know, when you come to America, in the stores, they sell gizzards. Like, they sell, you can buy a whole pack of only gizzards, you know. So,
yeah.
They look at gizzards in Africa as a very, you barely find a pack of just gizzards in Africa. Because, of course, a gizzard is a very, I would say, is a very important part of the chicken. I mean,
the chicken, yeah.
Gizzards, like, you know, think of when you're growing up, when they cook food, they take out your dad's own food first, like with all the meat, all the good parts of the meat and stuff like that.
I thought that was being done out of respect. What do you think?
Yeah, I was gonna say that in that case, it could be out of respect and stuff like that, you know. But then again, shouldn't your mom be respected as well?
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
You know. So I mean, it's just I just think that it's. We're not trying to say treat the dad as equal as everyone. I mean, we always have to have the value of respecting our elders as a whole and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And those are things that really I don't care. I mean, yeah, we respect him, we give him whatever. But, you know, when it has to do with affecting the well-being of those around, then that's where I have an issue. Even with the gizzard thing, I mean, traditionally, there could be a traditional reason or cultural reason why only the men eat gizzards, you know. But I mean, to me, the way I look at it, like, okay, if the men want to eat the gizzards, they can eat the gizzards as long as it's not affecting the well-being of a woman and making sure and making the woman feel less of herself. Some traditions have that. I mean, in my family, like I said, we really didn't care about things like that, you know. But there are certain ideologies that kind of feed into the male ego and then in turn suppress the woman, which are wrong, plain blank wrong. And those are the things that we have to, you know, work against. I mean, men speak through their egos. Like you were saying earlier that some people are like, oh, that's just a woman. Usually when men say that, for sure, is they're feeding into their ego, because there are a lot of men that actually know and appreciate the power. You know, they don't appreciate, but they know the power of a woman. So they use that, and they use the weakness that they have, because they know the woman is more powerful. They use that weakness and disguise that into aggression and into their ego. And they use that ego and aggression to suppress the woman and make her in turn feel less than nothing, so that she should not recognize the power that she has. A lot of men do that, especially in our African community. But I mean, times are changing and women are learning. Women are getting more empowered. And even the men in the younger generation now, they're seeing women being more empowered and recognizing way ahead of their time at a young age that women are powerful. And so hopefully when they grow up, things will be different.
I'm happy you used the word hopefully, because that's the only word we can actually use right now. Because with the way things are, especially when I was looking at this topic, okay, I looked at it in all ramifications, and I was actually looking at it at, you know, in every aspect of life, you know, and what came to my mind was, you know, why was it like this? And I my conclusion is because, you know, we didn't know any better. And you can't change what you don't really know. But like I always say to people, you can't give what you don't have. Mm-hmm. It's just what it is. You understand? Yeah. And I look at it that this is from the African point of view, just like you have pointed out, that's just the way many of us Africans have been raised. You understand? Mm-hmm. But it's time now for people to in a subtle way, because you see, when we try to do it aggressively, it's a roadblock. It always does. But when we do it in a very subtle way, we tend to get, you know, some little changes here and there. So, you know, in your own before we go completely off and on, you know, from your own thinking, what is your best way of us dealing with this from an African perspective?
So I will go with the words from the great Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and she said, we should all be feminists. Now, when you had mentioned feminists, of course, a lot of people, they look at feminism as in a negative light, especially the men, because it's like, oh, the women are standing up to to encourage other women to disrespect men. No. Everyone should be a feminist. I mean, a feminist is basically just supporting the fact that women should have equal rights and opportunities. Like, basically all genders should have equal rights and opportunities, men and women included. So even men can be feminists. And once we look at ourselves as feminists by supporting that every gender should have equal rights and opportunities, then that's when we can move forward. That's when we can break and demystify all these false ideologies against women.
So that's like you said, with that, the word feminist is something we're going to have to deal with later, because I just feel it's just something that has been misconstrued in so many ramifications. You know, people have looked at it in such, they don't even look at it in a positive way anymore. Yeah. We're not looking at the positivity of being a feminist, and I just feel that sometimes you have to look at an action from both sides so that you can, you know, have the best of it. Now, another question somebody just asked right now was that, you see, which I know we've talked about, is the fact that they said, you know, most of the time these glass ceilings are formed from, especially in the African, community, from when we're growing up. She says most of the time, those glass ceilings are put there from when we're growing up, when the women are already channeled towards a particular path. And the men are channeled through a particular path.
Yeah.
She says that's really true. So in your conclusion, before we finally go off, I just want our listeners to know that this is Real Talks with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 Ibadan. And I'm talking to one of the band, Anyon Fombad. She's very passionate about anything African, and she has a very lovely podcast going on. It's been a pleasure really talking to you, and it's always, for me, it's always a delight having to rub minds with you every time, because I always say to myself, you always bring out more than I can give most of the times, which is actually a very good challenge for me, you know. So before we completely round off, and we're going to do that in another 8 minutes, what do you have to say, your last words on this particular topic, and do you have any personal experience you want to share with us?
I just feel like I mentioned, if we get to the root of everything by looking at each other as humans. Okay. That's the thing. When we look at each other as humans, then we look at each other equally. You know, because it's like we're reflecting each other, a human reflecting another human. So when we look at each other like that, we treat each other equally, because we tend to treat another human how we would like to be treated as a human as well. I feel like that's just a fundamental thing that we should always have in mind, regardless of our cultural and traditional convictions. At the end of the day, we are human. We're dealing with each other as human beings.
Yeah.
And that should be what's most important. You know what I mean? And I mean, it's about time that the men know that, you know, women can do as much as they can. And it's about time the women are empowered. Young girls are empowered that they can also do as much as men do. It's very easy for us, the female sex, to be very intimidated, especially when we go out there in the world. But as long as we stay true to our goals, stay true to our purpose, and keep believing that we can do as much as anyone could do, and our sex should not be a hindering factor to what we can do, we will go places. And I mean, I can't really speak to a personal experience per se, because that's a mantra that I take with me. But I know, like, I have watched very powerful women in my life, my mom, my aunties, who are in very powerful positions. I mean, my mom was like the only female medical doctor in a lot of spaces, and worst of all in the ideology that, you know, being a black and being a woman is a double minority. That's already a double issue in most spaces.
Yeah.
So she has gone through the worst type of discrimination, the worst type of issues throughout her entire career since when I was young, but she has overcome and she only, you know, tends to go higher and higher. And that's where I tap all my strength from. That's where I tapped all my motivation and my drive from, because I know that if she can do it, then I can do it. So I call on each and every girl or woman to look at someone who's powerful, maybe in their circle, maybe in their community, maybe in their family, or just maybe anybody. I mean, I also look at Oprah as someone I look at. She's one of my mentors. She doesn't even know me, but I read a lot about her. I watch her videos. I see how she moves and stuff. And that empowers me, because you can be anything you want to be if you set your mind to it and don't let distractions come in your way.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask a very, will I call it off the rack question? But it's a question that I've always said, you know, as Africans, I know a lot of people say Nigerians were very strong women, you know, Nigerian women. What's your take on that?
That Nigerians are very strong women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, every time I talk, I always praise the Nigerians, because I feel like, you know, especially in Africa, I feel like you guys, in general, men and women, have the greatest drive. You know, you guys are, I say you guys are, Nigerians are hustlers. You guys are hardworking. You guys are persistent. You guys are, you know, from, I mean, even when you look at the political side as well, you always see Nigerians in the news. You guys are fighting for what you believe in. There have been so many movements in Nigeria that the youths and people have come out and they have fought. Like, you don't have that luxury in my country, in Cameroon. We've had one president since before I was born. And, you know, like, there's a lot of suppression, you know. So you guys are really fighters. And, I mean, just the whole culture or the whole, the whole culture of just being a fighter and a pusher actually rubs on men equally as it does women. So that's why you see a lot of great women come from Nigeria, especially a lot of, you probably look at the list of the greatest women or the most powerful women in Africa, like probably a third of them also come from Nigeria, you know. So that's not even a question of if it's true, that's a fact, you know. And I just, you know, want to commend Nigerian women for that.
Thank you. I mean, how will I say, on behalf of Nigerian women and on behalf of the radio, but really, you know, I mean, I'm happy. I mean, I'm very happy. It's coming from another African, because one of the things I've come across being apart from being black, being a Nigerian woman is one of and being based in South Africa is the fact that, you know, they see you first and foremost. At times, they think it's a threat. You understand, mm-hmm. you are too vocal. But I always try to say to them, look, you know what, this is the way, just like the way you said, this is the way I was raised. Mm-hmm. This is the way things are. This is what I know. I cannot be pushed into, like, yes. I can't be boxed. You know, this is just who I am. That is the way, just like you have been raised around strong women. You understand, and I'm very sure someone like you would break down those glass ceilings when you see them, because you don't even understand why you should have those barriers in the first place. So it's always very good when you know that, you know what, this is who I am, this is what I believe in, and that is what I'm going to go for. I won't settle for less. And I think, like you rightly said, and for me, as one of my major aims for doing this particular program, like I said to most people, is to bring about a behavioral modification, most especially, you know, challenging our mindsets towards things and letting people be able to change the way they do things and everything.
Right.
You know, on that note, I would like to say thank you so much. I would never always have enough time to go on with this program, because, you know what, I would always want to keep going on and on, but unfortunately, what is good always has to come to an end. And as I'm talking right now, it's almost time to go. And thank you so much, Ayon, for taking out time to come on my program. And I'm hoping that my listeners were able to learn one or two things to you, definitely I'll let you have the feedback. And again, thanks for being a strong African woman that doesn't believe in women and the glass ceilings. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lola. And thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And you have a blessed day.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.